Good morning, man. How are you?
I'm good, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Any inclination throughout practice last week or pregame that the Spartans were going to be flat against Iowa?
You know, not really. That hasn't been an indication really at any point this season. Those guys have talked each week about taking it one game at a time. So, you know, it was really hard to see that coming. And I think, you know, the players and coaches were probably as surprised as anybody is how they came out at the start of the game, that's for sure.
Well, in thinking about that 37-6 loss at Iowa, it looked like it was a combination of two things. Number one, the Spartans were flat as they have been, especially in the first half of the last couple of games, but they were flat, and Iowa looked like they were sky high and that they were performing at a very high level.
Yeah, they really were, and, you know, that slow start is something you can overcome against Northwestern, Illinois a little bit, but certainly not the case against a team like Iowa. And, you know, they got that ball first and put together a pretty darn good drive and, you know, scored all five possessions in the first half. I mean, if you're not coming out hitting on all cylinders and you're playing against a team that's playing that well, you know, the 30-0 halftime deficit is pretty much what you're going to get.
Well, what it made me wonder is, how did Iowa lose twice this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you saw any of those two games they lost, Arizona and Wisconsin, you know, especially the Wisconsin game, the final drive when Wisconsin won, it was like they needed all the things to go right and everything to go bad for Iowa, and it just kind of was one of those things where it did. I mean, I think both losses, Iowa really kind of beat themselves. You know, I kind of thought before the season they were the best team in the conference, and not trying to, you know, sound like I know what I'm talking about now, but I think, boy, you really saw that this past Saturday when they, you know, when they eliminate their own mistakes, they're a pretty good, pretty hard team to beat.
Well, it looks like Minnesota is coming into town. They're 0-5 in conference play, and then they're 1-8 overall. I would imagine the Spartans are going to open up a can of you know what, and then they're going to have a chance to heal as they go into the final two games of the season.
Yeah. You know, this week will be all about – this really will be all about them. I mean, Minnesota really is kind of a mess over there this year. So, you know, this will be about them kind of trying to get themselves back on track. And I think you're right. It could get pretty ugly for Minnesota. And then they have the bye week, and then Purdue and Penn State, you know, this could still be a pretty darn good season. You know, you finish at 11-1, they got a pretty good shot at the Rose Bowl, and I think a lot of fans would probably be happy with that.
All right, so what's got to happen? Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Iowa all only have one conference loss. What's got to happen for the Spartans to go to the Rose Bowl?
Well, the one good thing is that Ohio State and Iowa still play on November 20th, so at worst you're going to have a three-way tie. And you know, the best hope for the Spartans is that Ohio State loses again, which, in my opinion, will happen against Iowa. And that actually it's kind of strange if Wisconsin, they need Wisconsin to not lose again, that way creating the three-way tie with Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Iowa. And if that's the case, then Michigan State will go to the Rose Bowl based on all the tiebreakers. However, if Ohio State ends up in that mix, you know, then we start going to BCS rankings and then you get into the polls, and who knows what happens at that point.
Well, what's always interesting is being in the media, you get the opportunity to not only attend the press conference at the end of the game, but I think what's more important than that is what goes on Sundays. You find out about injuries. You really get a true feeling from the coaches and the players after their emotions are taken out of the process. Well, what'd you learn from yesterday?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny. This week they decided to cancel all the Sundays Halloween came. They got a lot of coaches want to be with their families, that kind of thing. And, so they kind of postponed that one this week. I think we'll get a good idea Tuesday. You know, so, you know, you don't learn all that much. You know, Mark D'Antonio is a pretty straightforward guy. You kind of get the same response from him. But talking to the players on Tuesday is always good. You kind of can gauge where they're at. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they are after, you know, not just their first loss, but to get to, you know, really kind of a one-sided beating that it'll be interesting to see what they're saying.
I found it interesting to listen to all the news and sports personalities, especially in radio throughout the state, give their take on how to handle the Chris L. Rucker situation. He did play in a little bit of mop-up duty. What's been the feedback from that when he got some playing time?
Well, you know, the feedback from them, they didn't let him talk after the game, which was kind of a little bit disappointing. In my mind, that'll just kind of extend this thing out. People want to keep still talking to the guy. So, you know, a lot of the reaction I'm hearing is kind of mixed. You know, a lot of people weren't necessarily against allowing the kid back. It was just kind of the timing and, you know, right from getting released to jail to practice, you know, just in time for the big game. It just, you know, whether or not it was bad and whether or not you agree with letting the kid back and thinking what he did wasn't a big deal or not. I think a lot of people kind of agree in that the timing wasn't exactly the greatest, and a lot of people would have rather seen him just sit out last week and maybe bring him back this week against Minnesota.
All right, Matt, before we let you go, anything new and interesting on the Michigan State men's basketball front? Any new injuries?
No, they're still right about the same, but they tip off this week, actually. That almost snuck up on me, too. On Tuesday night, they play their first exhibition game against Nebraska-Omaha. So it'll be their first chance, really, to see them playing against somebody other than themselves in practice. And I know that's they're certainly looking forward to that, that's for sure.
You know, even though I know there's been a lot happen in the offseason, especially on the injury front, just being around Coach Izzo and some of the players, Matt, I get a sense that they're really hungry this year, more hungry than last year.
Yeah, I think you could be right there. And the other, you know, the other interesting thing that has kind of happened with it's strange with these injuries, and then with Robbie Hummel at Purdue having his injury and out for the season, it's almost like these guys like Kalen Lucas who are dealing with these injuries realize, you know, that these chances don't come around all the time, and they need to take advantage of it. So I think combining the fact they've been to two Final Fours, you know, they've had the injuries, you know, putting that all together, I think these guys are kind of appreciating the chance they have and the talent they have and, you know, are really focused going into this year.
All right, Matt, I will see you at the press conference tomorrow. Should prove interesting, and I'd hate to be a Golden Gopher come Saturday.
You're right about that. All right, Tony, thanks.